Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Veranda Learning Solutions Investor Call hosted by Goenka Advisors. This call comes at a pivotal moment for Veranda Learning Solutions as the company advances its Veranda 2.0 strategy to strengthen the capital structure, sharpen business verticals, and unlock deeper value for shareholders. Two significant milestones have recently been achieved. First, the strategic demerger of the commerce vertical has been completed and will be called JK Shah Classes Limited. This vertical, comprising JK Shah Classes, BB Virtual, Navkar Institute, Antapastya, and other managed schools, has emerged as India's leading platform for commerce test preparation segment, reducing minorities within the sector as well. Following the demerger, the entity will operate independently, with the shareholders of Veranda will get mirror shareholding in the newly listed company. This structure positions the commerce entity as debt-free, asset-light, and focused on growth and margin expansion while unlocking direct value for investors. Second, the company has successfully concluded its maiden QIP, raising 357 crores, supported by prominent institutional investors. Approximately 87% of the proceeds have been allocated to repay high-cost debt, rendering the commerce vertical debt-free and significantly reducing debt in non-commerce verticals too. The balance is earmarked for investments in core verticals, operational efficiencies, and technology integration to strengthen the overall business foundation. The leadership team present on today's call includes Mr. Suresh Kalpathy, Executive Director and Chairman, Mr. J.K. Shah, Founder of J.K. Shah Classes and Non-Executive Director of Veranda Learning Solutions, Mr. Aditya Malik, Group COO, Mr. Mohasin Khan, CFO, Mr. Balasundaram, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Mr. Prasad, Senior Manager, PR and Communications. And I now invite Suresh Kalpathy, sir, to present the recent milestones, outline the strategic roadmap, and discuss the growth opportunities ahead. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rashi. It was very kind. I will probably, spend about 10 minutes in terms of giving you a broad overview of where we started, where we are, and how we think the road ahead would be. The first 3 years of Veranda's existence in the listed space was dominantly spent in aggregating assets which would give us an end-to-end delivery platform in the education space. This is starting from K-12 all the way through schools, colleges, to professional qualification, to test prep, to all types of education. With the recent acquisition that we announced of BB Virtuals and Navkar in February of this year, that cycle got completed. For us, that represented Veranda 1.0. Immediately after that, we put out our four-pillar strategy, consolidating our acquisitions across four key pillars of growth, setting the stage for the future. The first was the government test prep. The second one was K-12 schools. Third was our commerce vertical. The fourth was our occasional pillar. Subsequently, Veranda announced our Veranda 2.0 strategy, broadly to look at restructuring the business to start unbundling and creating value for all the shareholders who have been with us over the last 3 years of our journey. One of the first tasks as part of this unbundling was the approval given by the board to pursue a demerger of our commerce vertical. This would be a vertical split, which will ensure that for every one share that a shareholder has in Veranda Learning, the listed company, they will get one share in the commerce vertical. Commerce vertical, to be specific, will include, as it was mentioned earlier in the call, Tapasya, which predominantly runs all our junior colleges and colleges in the commerce space. Navkar, who is a leader in Gujarat, along with J.K. Shah, the number one and number two player in the entire state. It represents BB Virtuals, our de facto platform for online education in the commerce vertical. Of course, J.K. Shah Classes, the iconic brand founded, led by Professor J.K. Shah himself. And Logic, which is a dominant player in Kerala. So all of them brings on board expertise in online, offline, Indian, foreign courses, academic education, professional qualification. This also is an important milestone, as it was mentioned. The company has largely driven the acquisitions through a combination of debt and equity. The debt was coming from a structured vehicle which can fund acquisitions. So with the completion of the QIP that was announced a few days ago, the company has significantly retired its high-cost debt to the extent of about 310 crores of principal debt has been retired. Also, to ensure that when we do the demerger of the commerce vertical, we also wanted that vehicle to be debt-free. So the current QIP raised and the retirement of debt also ensures that the commerce vertical, when it demerges and lists separately, also lists as a debt-free organization. This will allow that organization to reinvest internal accruals to expanding its presence, expanding its growth in the commerce vertical space. Before I sort of hand over this to Professor J.K. Shah to outline the strategy of what we are planning in the commerce space, our goal from an investor perspective as part of our first unbundling and creating value would be to make J.K. Shah Commerce Education Limited, which would be the listed gets executed in full, to be the largest player, to be almost the Allen and Akash combined in the financial services space over the next 4 to 5 years. With no competition anywhere close, that profitable, with no debt and significant presence all over India in all formats. With this, let me just hand over to Professor J.K. Shah for him to share the broad strategy, as he would be the leader, the chairman and CEO of the demerged entity when it starts listing. He needs no further introduction, and I will hand over to Professor J.K. Shah himself.
Thank you so much, Sureskar, for this. So, good afternoon to everyone. As Sureskar has already outlined to a great extent, this is a wonderful vision, and all, you know, big brands which Veranda owns currently in commerce space are now coming under one umbrella. We are so well spread that practically entire country is covered as far as commerce education is concerned. If I give you some background, like Logic, they are present in Kerala, Tapasya, Andhra, Telangana, and Bangalore. J.K. Shah is there in about 43 cities, J.K. Shah classes. Some of them are in Gujarat, and there we share the space with Nauka. So, and in Gujarat, students come from Rajasthan also. So practically, J.K. Shah classes and Nauka put together would be able to share Rajasthan market very well. As I told you, as far as face-to-face space is concerned, JKS is there almost everywhere. Somewhere with Tapasya, somewhere with Logic, somewhere with Naukar. And as Sureshwar rightly said, BB Virtual is our online vehicle which will reach out to every nook and corner where face-to-face coaching may not be possible. Our growth strategy is like this. Currently, J.K. Shah classes offer practically all courses in Mumbai. So plus one, plus two, then chartered accountancy, all levels, company secretary, all levels, ICW, all levels, then foreign courses, USCMA, both levels, then ACCA, all 13 papers, then USCFA, all three levels, and USCPA, which has only one level. So we offer all these things. Our immediate strategy would include two things. One is at whichever JK Shah classes physical coaching branch, any of these things is not being offered on ASAP basis, but after studying the market, we will start offering all these courses. Our objective being, whatever is being offered in Mumbai in physical mode should be available across our 105 centers in about 43 cities. So that will bring about a huge growth indeed. We have huge pool of faculties, about 325 full-timers, and they are all there practically for years and years with us. They will be able to handle this growth. Of course, appointing new faculties, training them, putting them on platform, all these things would constitute an ongoing program. Coming to the second very, very vital, promising aspect, it is BB Virtual. So BB Virtual currently offers limited subjects at limited levels of chartered accountancy. We propose to empower them and encourage them to start offering each and every course that JKSB has been offering on even BB platform online also. So all Indian courses like chartered accountancy, all levels, company secretary, all levels, ICW, all levels, even plus one, plus two for each and every state of India in local language, English language, and so on. Also, all foreign courses and all papers. Not only that, BB Virtual would offer all these things in two modes, Hindi English and only English. So that would be a complete bouquet available on online. So if you put together all these things, ultimately in this new entity, these five players put together, where each of the five verticals is being run by the erstwhile promoter only. And all promoters have created this, originally founded by them, and so passionate about them, you know. So practically all five entities put together, we would cover in physical classroom coaching practically every course, every subject, and in Hindi English as well as only English. That is one thing. Secondly, everything would be available even on online mode, also on BB Virtual platform. So when this process is completed, I'm reasonably confident that the things to be added would be almost 5 to 7 times what we are currently doing. Because currently we are at few places, few options. All courses are not being offered everywhere. BB Virtual also offering few subjects of chartered accountancy. They recently also started offering company secretary. Very soon they are going to offer foreign courses. But I believe in short period of time, once demerger becomes a reality, I'm very confident that each and every course would be available, whether it is physical mode or online mode, and whether it is Hindi English or English. When it comes to 11th and 12th, there is plus one and plus two. We propose to offer on BB Virtual platform all courses in local language also. So that will help us grow exponentially. Even with current size, as I told you, 5 to 7 times growth is possible in just coming about 4 to 5 years. But even at current stage also, we all players, that is five players put together, are already leader in our field. So if you look at the results, the rank holders, practically 85 to 90% of rank holders across are from these group companies only. And therefore, we are very confident that we have a systematic way of coaching, the study material we have, the content we have, well-trained faculties we have, very well-located centers that we have, plus all facilities online, offline, language flexibility. I think we would be just offering under one umbrella anything and everything that a commerce aspirant could be expecting. And we would ensure that we make the career of lakhs and lakhs of students in time to come, utilizing our experience of years and years together. All five, you know, companies, as I told you, are headed by the people who founded the company. And the age group of these promoters range from 36 to 66. So each one brings a particular kind of unique experience. And that is what will be the lifeline of this new vertical. We propose to offer very affordable but quality education, which will be result oriented. And just as JKSA has been there for about, not about, exactly 42 years, we completed about 10, 15 days back. Same way we have logic, so more than 21 years. Tapasya also more than 22 years. Navkar about 28 years. And BB Virtual, the youngest player, but very effective indeed. Also, they have been there for about 10 to 12 years. So when you put together all these things, it really makes us a unique company, the only company in this space exclusively focused on commerce education only, nothing more, nothing less. But when it comes to commerce education, practically anything and everything that we propose to offer. If I specifically talk about JKSA class, yes, I founded it way back in 83, 42 years. I continue to play role of, you know, giving the vision, strategic role, and so on. But currently the team is headed by youngsters. Vishal and Pooja, my son and my daughter, are both chartered accountants. And having experience post-qualification, both are chartered accountants, and post-qualification experience of, in one case, 7 years, and in other case, 8 years. So they have seen me working through all types of circumstances, most prominent, the COVID and onwards. That means they have seen good time, tough time, and therefore very well placed, you know, to take it forward. BB Virtual, Babar Burara sir, also very, very young, 36 years. And the other three, our very invaluable partners like Sridhar sir, a chartered accountant, and having huge experience in this field and running this for around 22, 24 years, I believe. So, you know, Hitesh Bhai of Navkar, you say, or Santosh sir and Biju sir of logic, you say, they come with rich experience. Hitesh Bhai and Biju sir are also chartered accountants. So practically all qualified people, Santosh sir is CMA qualified. So all qualified people, all people who founded the organization, very passionate about it, created this organization and have burning desire to take it to the next end. This vision was of Suresh sir. We have all been behind him to give shape to this vision. And I think now we are well placed to take off once, you know, the compliance and other things are done. All in all, I would say a unique company, very passionate about delivering the goods and run by the people absolutely well placed to run. And since there is so much scope, so much to be done, I think with our ecosystem that we are creating, we will be able to deliver much more than what people think we can deliver, or we ourselves have made the estimates. But I'm reasonably confident we would over-deliver on every front. So, Suresh sir, once again, thank you so much for this opportunity. And that is from my side. Thank you.
Rakesh, if I may quickly sort of sum up and add the rest of the facets to what Professor J.K. Shah just spoke. You couldn't have had a better person to give a ringside view of the entire space as it has emerged in India over almost the last four decades. A couple of other facets just to complete it based on my own experience and interaction. Sectors are also driven by demand. Sectors are also driven by the type of need that is there on the ground. Couple of milestones I will just leave, data points. The GCCs that are coming to India, when we speak, we often relate it to software. The GCCs that are now getting established in India of late are in the financial services space. The back office work is now starting to shift to India from predominantly Western English-speaking countries. And having seen the way that the software space grew in the year 2000, very similar circumstances are today there in this exactly financial services space. The cost arbitrage, which drove software outsourcing and offshoring, has gotten established in this particular sector. Anything less than $40,000 annual salary, it will take for getting somebody to do even tax form filing in the US. That could be done by somebody who has an annual salary of 6 lakhs in India. That's close to an 85-90% cost differential. The second one that we are seeing is the availability of a huge talent base in India, which has always attracted people to come to India, attracted offshoring in India. That is starting to get established. When we last time spoke to NSDL, their estimation was close to 1 million people are going to be required in India over the next 5 years for India to capture this advantage in full. In those days, in my earlier avatar, I used to do a lot of software training, and that provided the backbone for the sector to grow. I think today, our commerce vertical, headed by somebody as iconic and inspirational as Professor J.K. Shah himself, will be the single vehicle that can help generate these volumes of people to meet the requirement of the global market. The second one that we are seeing is also intrinsic to India. Over the last 40 years, India moved from being a top 50 economy in the world to move into the top 5 economy in the world. And with every such transitions that we have seen in the past, when such countries move at that scale of development of their GDP, the work, the sector, the gross domestic product shifts from manufacturing into services. And financial services starts to become a very significant part of the economy. And that transformation is evident for all of us to see. And so apart from the GCCs and the offshoring, there is a huge demand that's coming for financial services professionals just to service the growth that India is seeing at this point of time across sectors. The third aspect is the quality of education that's available on the ground to meet this need for offshore or onshore in India. If we go into the top cities in this country, India boasts some of the best educational institutions in financial services, whether it is in commerce or business administration or any of the others. But if we should go into tier 2 and tier 3 towns, all of us know, and it will recall in our own way, that most of them are starved of good faculty, if at all they have faculty. And sometimes some of these faculty are teaching because they have not been able to get a great job, and they will switch if they get the job. And so these kids get just a certificate, very little quality of education, and very specifically, I'm talking about something like a BCom. How would it be for us to establish a J.K. Shah College of Commerce in most of North and West India, where the teaching would be done by professionals who teach CA students, now teaching basics of accounting for a first-year BCom student? It would most probably become the most premium college of commerce in each one of the 760 districts in India. And that is, again, something that would be required to pump prime the quality and volume of people that will be required to meet the demand that is emerging. So in summation, as Professor J.K. Shah mentioned, that while we have internally looked at growing this business to a 5 to 7 times in the coming 4 to 5 years, as he himself mentioned, we think that there is going to be a significant outperformance possible just because of where we are, what we are, and the country and the phase of growth that it is in. With that, I will hand it over back to you.
Yeah, Rashik. Rashik will host the call. So, Hashi, please go ahead with the questions and all.
Yes, sure. So, just want to check if anyone has any questions. Please put your hands, or you can use the chat to ask any questions. Right. So I can start off with one of the questions. So my first question is, understanding the four pillars.
Rashi, there are two people who raised the hand. Take them. So take Henil.
Sure, Henil, would you like to pop your question in the chat, or you can just unmute yourself and ask yourself?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. And very good. And congratulations to Mr. Jitendra, sir, for creating such a legacy brand. So if you could just give some details as in how many students, also the trends, as well as the details of how many students in India have been pursuing the commerce degree, and how the trend has been going up or it's been going down. And even in the commerce category, how many have been inching towards the professional courses such as CA, CS, CFA, CP, etc. So that would be helpful. And when we say that we need, there is a huge demand for GCCs, especially in the finance part, where there are probably Indians who deal with, foreign accountings. Say a US CPA graduate in India is probably dealing with companies based out of US, probably for, Indian companies with subsidiaries there or professionally providing services there. So how do you see that sector, across the entire world, given that the cost of employment there is significantly high compared to India? So some statistics would definitely help us.
To the first point, the total number of commerce students, I don't think I would be having that statistic handy right now. But if you look at the other sectors like science and what is happening, you can well see in time to come number of people joining commerce who are going increasing like anything. Nothing against science, but since there is entry barrier and there are limited number of seats, other things people know, we don't need to say more about science, but in time to come, the number is going to multiply like anything for commerce. That's number one. Number two, the people coming once in commerce, chartered accountancy, etc. The biggest plus point is cost effective course. Today, chartered accountancy, including coaching class fees and examination fees, in all would cost not more than 2.5 lakh rupees. And if you count the stipend that student will get during articleship, then effectively student comes out with a profit without incurring any out-of-pocket cost, So considering all these things plus job opportunities, I'm reasonably confident number will increase. The market size, therefore, is going to expand like as far as chartered accountancy numbers are concerned. Sometimes the registrations would increase, sometimes it would fall. depending on the institute's policy, the result, those things keep on changing. But if what we hear is right, like ICAI President last year said, in 2 decades, about 30 lakhs chartered accountants will be required. This is as against around 5 lakhs that we currently have in 76 years after the institute was formed. So in 76 years, we have about 5-6 lakhs. And in next 2 decades or so, in all 30 lakhs, you can well imagine the demand. As for foreign courses, the advantage of foreign courses is they are relatively simpler, easy to get through, better results. So the people who feel that chartered accountancy, they may not want to put so much time, or they do not want to go through such tough exams, I think they will have the other option also of ACCA or USCMA, CFA, CPA. If you see CPA, for example, just one level exam, only 4 papers, largely multiple choice questions, and student can appear at a time just for one paper. And in every quarter out of 3 months, in 2 months, you get to sit in the exam. And now the exam is being held not just in America, but in so many countries, India included. The outsourcing work, your third part, is increasing like anything in India. You can see cities like Ahmedabad becoming hub now. So number increases. So number of people wanting to get such type of qualifications should also go up. So all in all, I think it's very encouraging statistics. It is going to be, though I do not have exact numbers of registrations across the country. Thank you for your question.
So thanks a lot for the detailed answer. So also, if you could also explain, I mean, how would the synergies work between the 5 brands? So are we present in all the states where majority of the applicants are doing the multiple courses? Or do you see any other particular geographical areas within your existing states, as well as, I mean, probably new states where you would want to enter? And do you see places, so JK Shah is, classes are there probably in Gujarat also, and you've got the Navkar Institute there too. So, I mean, do you see shutdown of some centers and opening up bigger centers? So some cost synergies there, as well as on the, I mean, the cost staffing part also, if there are any further synergies there.
Yeah. So luckily, we 5 players. See, first of all, 4 are on one side physical coaching and 1 is on the other side online coaching. So naturally, we are complementary to each other. Also in time to come, my own thinking is that perhaps the hybrid, you know, form of teaching, that is, the online, but partly even offline, then it is so easily possible that BB Virtual can offer online courses with offline center facilities also across the country. So these 4 centers on one side, I mean 4 organizations on one side and BB Virtual on the other side, I see perfectly made for each other. Coming to 4 players on physical. So you can see Kerala. None of the 3 is in Kerala. Except, so only player in Kerala is Logic. But Logic is not there anywhere else except Kerala. So again, complementary. But Logic will carry JK Shah classes there at some of the places for offering CA courses. Coming to Tapasya, they are predominantly in Andhra, Telangana, and part of Bangalore. But they are basically into +1, +2. Whereas JK Shah classes in Bangalore are only for professional courses. So same thing stated differently, I would say, output of Tapasya would become input for JK Shah classes in Andhra, Telangana, and Bangalore. So once again, I can say made for each other. As for Navkar and JK Shah classes, we both are present practically in the same market. Though Navkar is only in Ahmedabad, whereas we are in 10 cities of Gujarat. But Ahmedabad is the now center of all activities. People from across Gujarat and Rajasthan come there. So we too have been competing there for about 13, 14 years. And we too continue to have friendly fight. But the cooperation, no unfair competition, the freebies which were not required now to be eliminated, cost rationalization, you know, where there is market only for one brand, the other brand can withdraw. You know, some such positive steps can be taken so that we continue, you know, to have lion's share in the market, but at the same time, unfair competition and unwanted cost is being eliminated. That would greatly add to our profitability as well. So all players are so well placed. In fact, it's not that somehow this has happened. The Veranda Group has made all acquisitions after JK Shah Classes, keeping in mind this requirement. So it's not that acquisition has happened and luckily it has fallen in place. It was envisaged this way, and we have done acquisition exactly as needed. So that is the logic behind all these things. Thank you.
Well, rephrasing my question a little bit different. So as you said, you want to, your aspiration is to grow about 5 to 7 times in the next 4 to 5 years. So, I mean, what part of the growth will come from, expanding in your existing geographies, like you said, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Karnataka to some extent, just in the city of Bangalore, Maharashtra and Gujarat is more or less covered. And probably you said you would even want to enter into Rajasthan. So, I mean, how much will be from expanding into new geographies? And would you also be open to opportunities of acquiring smaller centers or smaller, I mean, coaching across multiple cities in order to increase your reach? So that is that is what I was actually wanted to get. So, and also in the in the entire curriculum business and also in the coaching business. So one of the biggest factors is, a lot of professors come. They gain experience and then they start, they just leave the coaching and they try to start something of their own. So how would we expand? Would we use something of a franchisee model? What will be an incentive model to, retain a lot of professors? Because initially, a professor may try to, learn a lot of things, but then as he ages, he becomes an asset for the brand. So, because that is what something that pulls a lot of students to the particular coaching. So on these two questions.
So let me answer both questions. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I will respond, right?
Yes, sir.
So the first part, how do we grow and how do we get 5 to 7 times growth? That I already mentioned in my basic address, but I repeat the relevant part, that in Mumbai, JKSE offers every course in commerce. But we are present in some 43 cities across 105 centers. But at all centers, we don't offer all these things. So first point is at existing JKSE centers, whichever course we offer in Mumbai, but not outside, one by one, we will start offering. For example, we started offering USCMA, ACCA, and Company Secretary and ICWA at Ahmedabad, Baroda, which we were not doing previously. We also started in Delhi last month. We also started in Bangalore last year. So in short, whichever courses JKSE offers in Mumbai, but not elsewhere, or within Mumbai at some centers, but not all. So we will start offering. That is first point. Second, wherever there is still possibility of putting up new branches, for example, Andhra and Telangana, Vijayawada, Guntur, you know, there are good markets, but we are not there. We propose to go there. We propose to go to Rajasthan. We also propose to go to North, where we are only in Delhi, but not in other parts like Udaipur, Jodhpur, Himachal, Uttar Pradesh, Haryana, Bihar. We are not the Madhya Pradesh also. We were only into one city. So we propose to expand this way, face-to-face business. We also propose to offer all courses one by one on BB virtual platform, which is currently Hindi-English mode, but we will offer only English also. So if you see what we propose to do compared to what we have been doing, I think what we propose to do is much more than 5-7 times what we have been doing. So the growth will come from there. That is the answer to the first question. Coming to the second question, like a professor joining, gaining experience, and then leaving. Well, you can't wish away this possibility. These are the realities. But we have withstood these possibilities for 42 long years. We are not just few years old organization, 42 years. You take Navkar, 28 years old. Take Tapasya, almost 22, 23 years old. Logic, 21 years old. So since we have been there for a long period, it's not that such things have not happened. All these things are very common. It happens. Only thing is we have a system to take care of, whereas we cannot stop anybody from going, but we ensure that it doesn't affect us. Also, our policy, if you see, JKS in 42 years, less than 30 people, 30, less than 30 people have left in 42 long years. I'm still not saying it cannot happen, but we have a way to handle it, because now students come to our organization, institution, not to a particular person. And therefore, I think the model that we have is so foolproof, so fail-safe. I'm not saying people cannot leave. I'm only saying we have withstood and we will withstand all such eventualities, because we have a good system. So that was answer to your second part of your question. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Priya.
Thank you. We will take the next question from Himali. Himali, would you like to ask your question?
Yes. Hello. So I have a question to JK Shah, sir. So from today's presentation, you have projected 136 CR for EBITDA for the commerce segment for FY26. I know that this is a very conservative figure, but could you please give some optimistic figure which might look under the best case scenario?
Well, I wouldn't like to risk anything more than what you have suggested. But as I already told you, we are going to over-deliver. I'm happy that you are saying that it is very conservative. It is conservative.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sora. So he's saying, what is the current revenue and PAT of commerce business at the moment?
So I'll take up this.
Yeah.
So last year, pro forma numbers were at adjusting to BB and everything was 281 and a EBITDA of 100 CR. And I think we are projected, I think the conservative, what we are trying to achieve is 344 on the top line with EBITDA of 136. And also I can see Saurabh asking debt level in the commerce vertical after this demerger. There'll be, once demerger happens, it'll be a debt-free entity. So when we list, when the listing happens, the commerce will go as a debt-free entity with entire funds available for its disposal. So that's how we are projecting it to. And other verticals, I can see one question. I think the other vertical carry a debt of 125 from external and promoters have given a 70. So this will be funded from the internal accruals of the company, and there are steps to be taken over the tenure to reduce it. Hope sort of that will answer the question.
Great. Thank you so much. The next question we can take from Raghav. So he's asking, what is the impact of professional academy and innovate and Mayuresh sir leaving?
That question is for whom?
Sir, JK, sir, it will be to you, sir. Impact of professional academy and innovate, please, and Mayuresh sir leaving. It's an operation.
So, you see, I mean, I may not talk about a particular organization or two. In every city that we are, we have competitors. And they are also there. But they are there, for example, for about 5 years. Where they are, it is for everybody to see. But we respect all our competitors. They are also competitors. Professional Academy is run by my very close friend Prasad sir. We previously competed for 20 long years in Mumbai, then for about 4 years in Chennai also. In COVID time, he closed down and then he's again there. So I'm very happy. But competition is there everywhere. In none of the 43 cities, we have monopoly. Only thing is we do our task. There are players, there would be more players to join also this business, but we are doing our duty, heavily focused, and I'm sure we will not ever lose the track. Thank you.
But if I can quickly add to what Professor J.K. Shah had said, I think competition in this space specifically come from star faculty, because at some point, Professor J.K. Shah himself was a star faculty. I would think he continues to be so, but he was a star faculty. I used to be in the software education space. I used to be a star faculty. So I think star faculty is a phenomenon leading to competition in local micro markets will always be there in the education space, irrespective of what education it is, commerce, science, medical, it will always be there. I think the biggest difference that we bring is the ability to be present across locations. That brings with it the advantage of cost optimization, an ability to invest in research, ability to invest in content, ability to invest in technology at a single point centralized, which ensures the advantage is available to all locations. I think that's the biggest advantage that a national player brings to the table. And that's what J.K. Shah Commerce Education will bring as far as India is concerned in the commerce education space is concerned. So while Professor J.K. Shah did not mention much about star faculty, I think the system that he has built, and that was one of the fundamental reasons 3 years ago we formed the strategic association with him, was the system that he has built is so agnostic to a specific professor. All his professors are very high quality, but the program that is delivered is independent of a particular professor. And this is a system that he has been able to build by his sheer experience over 4 decades and everything that he has seen. I think that has significantly withstood the test of time. So competition, star faculty, local micro markets will always be there in education. But the strength that a national player can only bring is what you're seeing in terms of what's been built through J.K. Shah Commerce Education.
Thank you, sir. That was very thorough. We can take the next question from Sweta. Would you like to unmute and ask your question, please?
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Company looks great. I just have a question regarding our strategy for non-commerce segments. And because I understand that will also help us in making profits and reducing risk. So if you can give outline on that.
Aditya, you want to?
Sure. Thank you. So Sweta, we will have a significant portion apart from commerce, where we cover our K-12 managed school business. We have, which we call as an academic vertical, we have something called vocational, in which we have higher education, tech education, etc. And thirdly, we have government test prep. These three verticals left with us. For all the three, we have clear growth plans. From a school's perspective, starting from the first one, from a school's perspective, we are in the middle of expanding our managed school segment. Currently, we own, you know, we manage 6 schools. Our clear plan is to expand a few more in the current financial year and add more to this vertical. In the vocational space, where we have companies like Edureka, Higher Ed, as well as Sixphase, there's a clear roadmap for growth in terms of higher ticket size products and ARPU there. We saw some headwinds in this vertical in the last financial year, which starting the first quarter, whatever was needed to be fixed, we fixed. Starting the first quarter of this financial year, we're already seeing benefits coming out of that. And we are looking at a significant expansion in that space as well. And lastly, in the government test prep space, whatever challenges we had faced last year are over. We are going ahead and expanding in Tamil Nadu and Kerala. And also last year, we started in a small scale in Karnataka. This year, that Karnataka expansion in the government test prep is on in the full swing. We are expecting, as per the numbers, roughly about 40-42 crores of EBITDA in the current financial year. And so far, as per the first quarter numbers, we are on track. As on the commerce side, we have been conservative and given what we can, you know, which is easily achievable or 100% achievable. On this side also, we feel that we'll be able to do well and at least meet whatever we have projected. And, you know, as JK sir said, we will like to over-deliver. We like to over-deliver in this one as well.
Great, great, great to know. Also, if you can highlight a bit of the marketing and sales, and especially online and offline, that would give a better clarity as to how we are targeting our audience.
So, unlike many other education companies, our business is predominantly offline, which ensures that our sales and marketing cost, which has been a bane for many education companies, is fairly in control. So, you know, apart from commerce, because I assume your questions is excluding the commerce segment, as you know, school is predominantly offline. I mean, while we do some digital marketing, but there's a lot of offline effort which is going through, and it's a completely brick and mortar operation. Similarly, the government test prep, we have close to about 50 centers across Kerala, Karnataka, as well as Tamil Nadu. The operations are predominantly offline, and we have a clear leading position both in Tamil Nadu and Kerala in government test prep with a strong brand name under Veranda Race and Talent. So the marketing and sales is predominantly offline with the BTL activities. There's always going to be some digital ads as well as social media promotion. But the cost from a marketing perspective, which worries many people in terms of the sales and marketing cost that causes the burn, is not there in that as well. In the vocational segment, we have two players, which is in the higher education space and tech space, Veranda Higher Ed and EduReka, where we have online, we are predominantly online and are targeting working professionals. There also, our sales and marketing is completely under control. Both the players are cash positive in terms of EBITDA on collections, as well as at the same time, both are running EBITDA positive as we speak. Third one, Sixth Phrase, which does campus-in-campus operations, is completely offline. We work with universities and colleges across the country. Classes are run inside that, and the sales and marketing is completely offline. So to summarize from your questions perspective, our sales and marketing in these verticals is predominantly offline with a little bit of online piece, and that is why our sales and marketing, as well as our unit economics, is fairly positive.
Okay, thank you so much and wish you all the luck for this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shweta. Thank you. So the next question is from Kashish. Kashish, would you like to unmute yourself?
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on this residual stake buyout, which we have to do across various companies. Do you see any further dilution which you need to do to acquire these stakes, or this could be largely managed through internal accruals or debt?
Mohsin,
yes.
You
want
to take it?
Yeah, I'll take it. Hi, Kashi. So the residual stake, I think we have disclosed in the market today's presentations. I think that was to be more open about the relevant deferred considerations payout. The deferred residual stake buyouts are structured in a way such that the future we need to buy out that, and the model has been programmed in such a way that internal funds will be available for the usage of payouts of the deferred consideration. To answer, there will be no dilution. There is no further debt which will be required for the buyouts. So internal funds will be sufficient, self-sufficient to the purchase.
Great. So when do you expect to go completely debt free? And commerce will be debt free, right? When it comes to the parent entity,
no.
Can you highlight like when do you expect to be debt free, FY27, 28, any sort of rough timeline on that front?
You are okay with commerce being debt free by this already? We'll be doing it.
Yeah.
You're non-commerce, you're asking. As non-commerce, Aditya was mentioning the previous query where we are developing the other segments, growth projections, making it to a, bringing it to a next level. So over the time, once the funds are accumulated, we'll be able to make it debt-free also. As of now, we are keeping it alive. Let the internal funds accumulate from the non-commerce and go for it. Suresh, sir, you were saying?
I think the just to answer, whether it is in the commerce or on the non-commerce business that gets listed, we don't see any dilution that is required, whether to buy out the residual stake or to reduce the debt. I think in the commerce, it's debt-free. So there is no requirement. The requirement of the cash is only to buy out the future stake. As Mohsin had mentioned, the cash flows generated from the operating business indeed would be more than sufficient to pay for the entire buyout whenever it happens in the future years. As far as the non-commerce business is concerned, the idea first would be to refi the high-cost debt that we are currently carrying with a very low-cost debt and ensure that the operating cash flows are sufficient to pare down the debt as we start building out the business. So no dilution is expected in both the businesses, and we don't see a reason to accumulate any further debt except to use operating cash flows to pay down the debt or to use it to buy out the residual stake.
Great, that's really helpful. Second question is on the cash flows front. So in today's presentation, you have given the EBITDA breakup of both the entities. And I know there's a lot of lease liability as well, which, I mean, there is cash outflow and also there is more of accounting thing. If you can give me a rough range of what sort of cash flow from operations do we expect as percentage of EBITDA going forward?
Mohsin, you want to take it?
So the EBITDA which we are looking at, since the debt being the debt-free entity, Kashish, so since we are signed period, we can't say, but what we're expecting is that there'll be only PAT coming. There is no depreciation, or that finance cost is very less, the balance debt. So the every operating cash flows will be available for the usage. So the tax amount alone will be going through, remaining will be available for the usage.
In the commerce division, you're saying?
Yes.
And in the non-commerce? So,
non-commerce, there is a debt of 120 where the interest are 18%. So,
yeah.
So
that's fair to assume. I'm not asking for any number. It's just that the EBITDA which we are generating, significant portion of that will be translating into operating cash flows.
Yeah.
Debt payment and taxation is separate. That's fine. But the cash flow generation, if you can give me a percentage, how much would be a rough range for this cash conversion as percentage of EBITDA?
Let me answer that. So given the nature of the business, except for two specific parts of a business, most of the time it is collected in advance. Whether it is in the K-12 managed school business or in test prep or in professional qualification where we are providing coaching, almost always the money is collected in advance. A, in the case of Six Phrase, where we work with colleges, where we do have a payment cycle, so it is 60, 75 days average. In Edureka, where we provide software training for companies like TCS, the World Bank, ICICI, many of our customers, again, it's a B2B relationship where there is a receivable maybe for 30, 40 days. Beyond that, in almost all the businesses that we are engaged in, the money is usually collected in advance. So without going into specific numbers, when I look at, for instance, this quarter, I usually track a number internally, which is EBITDA on collection, rather than EBITDA on booking or EBITDA on revenue recognition. I look for EBITDA on collection. Our EBITDA on collection is usually ahead of our EBITDA on revenue recognitions because the money is collected in advance. So the EBITDA that we show probably is at the same level as available in cash. Sometimes the cash that we collect, net cash we collect, is probably ahead of the EBITDA that we report.
Right, because I was seeing the cash flow from last 3 years, they were quite healthy. Otherwise, if you look at the console numbers, it's shows a distorted image because of the high depreciation amount. So that's why I wanted to check on that. So it would be mostly converted into CFO. Right. Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kashish. The next question we can take in the interest of time is from Prerit. So what about the nursing business, which was going to generate huge revenues?
What was it again?
So the question is about the nursing business, that it was going to generate huge revenues. So just want to, Prerit just wants us to expand on that a little bit.
Aditya, you want to take it?
Sure. So as we had spoken a few months back, we have a complete plan ready for nursing business, where we have done the partnerships, all the things were aligned. Just we had put it on pause for some time, ensuring that our QIPs and our focus on demerger of commerce vertical and whatever other actions we need to take, we would do that first, so that we have a focus on our core business before we enter something new. For that reason, we have just put a pause on that business for now, and at an appropriate moment in the near future, we will, as these things settle down, we will go back to reinitiating that. For now, we continue, we know that nursing market is a huge market and it's going to remain that for next couple of years. Just that we wanted to make sure that all our current actions, what we are taking, are focused and completed before we jump into any new business line.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Saul. So we'll take the final question from Umang. So how many new schools under K-12 are we targeting on to achieve by the end of this financial year?
I'll take that, Suresh. I can take that. So we are targeting 2 to 3 new schools under an asset light model in the current financial year, as we speak. And we are going to do that predominantly in the southern region, mostly in Tamil Nadu, as part of our densification strategy on the K-12 managed services segment.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. So we will just wrap up with Praveena's question, which is, so what is the projected revenue EBITDA for FY25 and 26 post acquisition, please?
Mohsin?
Yes, sir. Sorry, can you want consolidated numbers, how it is?
I think the question was, what is our FY25 numbers?
Yes, and what is the projected revenue EBITDA for FY25 and 26 post the acquisition?
So last year we closed with 470 of top line with a EBITDA of 105. And currently we're expecting to touch at 640 top line with a 180 crores of EBITDA.
Great. Thank you so much. So we are 10 minutes over already. So any other questions, you can contact us at Go India Advisors, and we will ensure that your queries are answered. And if you require any further meeting with the management, also please let us know and we can get it arranged. So thank you so much. Thank you, Suresh sir, Mohsin sir, JK Shah sir, Aditya sir, and Akesh sir, for coming onto the call and sharing your insights, and all the investors and analysts as well. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.